Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining Carrie Aller and Friends Coffee Chat. Today I have with me my sweet friend Kristen from Heels and Holster on Instagram. How are you doing, girl?
Great, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. I am just so excited to have you on the show today. I just know you're really going to bless all the women and men that are listening today. And how I found Kristen was actually my husband just became a police officer. And so I was looking for encouragement on Instagram. I was just praying. I was like, Lord, let me connect with some people that understand what I'm going through. And I found Kristen, and she is hilarious. Her page is full of encouragement. I don't know, during, especially last year, I just needed that encouragement. So Kristen, thank you for joining. I'm so excited.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so glad you found me.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Now that you think I'm funny.
You are funny. Like, I love your reels and stuff, and I'm trying to dip my feet into those waters too. And so you do such a good job at that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell everybody kind of a little bit about yourself and your heart behind what you do and all that.
Well, I have been a police officer wife for 8 years, and I did not start posting about it until this last year. So I just, like you, it's a tough time for you to become a police wife right now. I think that I feel lucky that it hasn't been this bad until recently, like not always as much attention and
right.
focus on like police brutality and racism and everything like that. And but it's been there. I mean, we definitely have had incidents many years ago. BLM has been around for a while. It's not like a brand new thing. It's just become more, there's been more awareness in the news. And then this last year I felt very alone, even though I had other police wife friends. We don't really talk about things like that because we're just so busy. We all have young kids, so we get together as like play dates. And I was seeing, my husband was working very long shifts dealing with the riots and protests in LA. And at the same time, I work at a very liberal university, and received, the last straw for me was receiving an email from our faculty association that says that we must support BLM and white silence is violence.
Wow.
And I'll never forget it. I felt like it was, that was just like the cherry on top of negative cherry on top of everything else that had happened. Cause I also kind of left Facebook. I was friends with a lot of faculty on there, and other faculty were writing F the police. And I was just shocked because I just think these are very educated people that I respect that are speaking this way about a group of people. And I just don't think that's how we should be as leaders, you know, in society and educators. So I ended up kind of unfriending everyone over time, and then I just left. I still post there sometimes for the Facebook memories. I like those. But then I kind of found like, okay, just start anew on Instagram. I was sort of posting. And then I loved watching the funny mom reels. And I was like, wouldn't it be funny? Like, police wife life is kind of funny. I'm going to post about that. So I made one and it did really well. And I was totally shocked, you know? So then I just kept it up. And then like over time, I think I've been doing it 6 months now, which hasn't been that long. And like I have 4,000 followers, which is a ton for me. Like
yeah.
I'm just ecstatic. And have just met so many otherwise and like gained friendship. And it's honestly like helped me as much as it seems like it helps other people, which is awesome. Because now I have kind of like this safe space of feeling less alone, not just in the BLM stuff, but like I also didn't realize how much we have in common, and like in this kind of a quirky different life that we live. So that's been so much fun.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that. I love that you just kind of were in a place, and instead of wallowing in the place, you're like, how can I use this place to help other women? Because surely I'm not the only one feeling like this. So I think that's fantastic, and it certainly has blessed me, and I'm kind of new at this police wife life, and so it has been a blessing for sure. What would you encourage maybe the police spouse right now that is listening? What would you encourage them with today?
Okay, so there are ebbs and flows, and the BLM needed to be around police will move on, I believe, very soon. And so just to realize that and know that it will pass soon gives us all hope, you know. And then the second thing is that, you know, you're not alone. So come find that, come find fellow police buddies, either, you know, in person in your community or online. Online works very well for me because, like I said, I even have friends in person that, like, we just don't get a chance to talk about these things. So it's funny, but I feel like I communicate a lot more about it online. And so, yeah, just find communities, and that will help you to feel less alone in this, like, challenging time. And then even if it's not this overall challenging time, like, just being a police wife is definitely more challenging than average. So it's good to have other people and just realize you're not alone.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we have a thing at our department that is a spouse academy. So they encourage the spouses as they're spouses are going through the academy and giving them tools and encouragement and all those things. And it is so helpful, and it is so important for us to be connected, because it is kind of a lonely life in a way when they're on duty or if they're called. And I'm, like I said, I'm new at this. So being married for 16 years and then all of a sudden he's a police officer is kind of a hard pill to swallow. But at the same time, I couldn't be more proud. I couldn't be more encouraged just by the support of, you know, wives such as yourself, you know, that we can all come together and just pray for each other, help each other, make each other laugh, and encourage one another. You know, 2020 was a doozy, to say the least. I kind of felt like we were, you know, in Jumanji and there was like a new level every month. But, you know, for those that are trying to kind of get back to somewhat of a normalcy, I guess, and trying to get just a grip on their emotions and different things just from all that has happened, how would you encourage them today? Maybe they're in harder parts of the country that are dealing with more, you know?
Yeah, and even internationally, I did not realize, like, I do have followers, you know, and it really opened my eyes to, like, this is all around the world. It's not right. Just the United States. And, like, that's been a lesson learned for me. Let's see. I mean, what helped me was to go online and reach out to other people. So, like, we already talked about that. But the other thing that I really think that we don't focus on enough is just self-care. And so whatever you need to do to achieve happiness, like I said, I left Facebook. Like, don't watch the news. Like, just don't. Because if you're
right.
If your spouse is a police officer, they're out there and they're learning what's going on. They're going to update you. Like, I swear, I just get my news from Rick all the time and it's totally fine. Like, I'm like, I don't want to watch that because it's just going to bring me down. Like, they hardly ever talk about anything positive. So
right.
Why? Like, and when I know I can get or find new sources that you like, that don't bring you down, and just look at it just really quick, like once a day, if you feel like you really want to make sure you know what's going on. But besides that, you know, really try to fill your life with other things and people on social media, people in person that, you know, fill you up and don't bring you down. And it's okay to, you know, end relationships with people temporarily. It doesn't have to be forever, but to make sure that you are happy and be around, you know, think about what brings you happiness, what people bring you happiness, and like be around those people and do those things. And do not, you know, like I work at a place that doesn't always bring me happiness, but I get paid to work. It's fine, you know, but I think that a lot of people have even like questioned where they work these days, but I'm not
right.
Going to leave my job. I love my job, but
right.
I think, you know, in the place, people have a hard time doing that. Like, in setting those boundaries, I think with relationships that bring them down. But do everything you can to do that. And then other self-care, like just the basics of working out, eating 3 meals a day, trying to stay healthy, like those kinds of, it does so much for us that like, but we don't, I think we don't focus on like just the basic needs of like sleeping well, and those kinds of things. I think that they can really help.
Yeah. Self-care is so important because we can't pour out from an empty vessel. And it's like that analogy I like to use, you know, on the airplane, the flight attendant always says, you have to put your mask on before assisting others. Mm-hmm. And we can't be empty and, you know, be all that we can and do what God's called us to do in our lives, being a wife, a mom, all the other things that you just throw in there. And on top of that, being a first responder spouse, you know, too, it is definitely, definitely important for self-care. And, you know, I love that God has put in your heart this creativity to make these funny videos to inspire women all around the world in that. And so I'm believing that your stuff is definitely going to keep growing, very much so. So what would you say to those like myself that are, you know, I know we kind of talked about encouraging ourselves and self-care and all that too, and being connected to the right people, putting those boundaries up. If people are negative or something, it's okay to have those boundaries. But for those that are brand new into this life, first responder life, what has been the most things like, or the biggest things that have helped you in your journey besides the things we've already talked about?
Yeah, I think I was telling you before we got on here about someone that really just hasn't accepted this life. And I think that this does not have to do with the broader world of like any advocacy or BLM going on or something, but just simple, just married to police officer life. It is challenging in itself. And for a long time, like I fought it and was resentful. Like Rick is never home. I would say that to him, like, you're never home. Like just never.
Right. Right.
Like, obviously that's awful. It's awful to say to him. Right. But I'm just being honest and open about that. And it wasn't as bad before we had kids, but I specifically think having children, I had moved officially full-time to living with him literally the month that we had our first son. So I had been working out of state. So I was like kind of living here part-time.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know anyone. I have this like brand new baby, first-time mom, really, really struggled. It was a very difficult time. And I was just frustrated. I was lonely and resentful at him and like fought it for the longest time. And then I think, you know, but at the same time, Rick and I are like in this forever. And so I knew like every day to still choose him, like choose our marriage.
Right.
And over time, I think what helped me was like the positive self-talk. I'm going to call it that right now. I don't know that I've ever called it that before, but like just recognizing everything that Rick was doing instead of telling myself everything he wasn't. So like for a long time I was saying he's never home. But if I said he's out there, he's making money for the family, he is a provider. I know that and I'm so proud of that. He's always a provider. Like even if he wasn't a police officer, like he would make sure our family is taken care of.
Right.
And that's something I'm like really proud of him for. So to really recognize that and say it out loud to him instead of telling him you're never home, say like, thank you so much for taking care of the family. It changes your perspective when you're saying out loud, you know.
That's so
and
good.
And it changes it for him because I wasn't expressing resent. I wasn't I wasn't resentful anymore. I wasn't, you know, expressing like anger, frustration. And so he was happier to be around me, right? Like, and he started taking more days off of work and like planning little vacations for us because now I was like expressing that I was happier. Like it's of course, right? Because before it's normal to get defensive. He was probably defensive, like, well, because I was always frustrated.
Right.
And I mean, I think that that's something that you have to do. Like, it's really hard. It's not easy, you know, but to really change your perspective and say it to yourself, say it out loud to your spouse, what you're thankful for them. And over time, it will change your perspective. And I think, like, for us, it changed our marriage and, like, my happiness in it and Rick's happiness because he doesn't want to be around somebody that's telling him he's never there.
Right.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. That's so good. And that positive self-talk, as you said, is so important, especially, you know, just for yourself and also for your marriage. So I love that so much. You know, it's funny that you kind of said that because there was a time where I would just speak negatively to myself. Mm-hmm. And I just believed the worst about myself. And one day the Lord put on my heart, like, I want you to look yourself in the mirror in your own eyeballs. I want you to look at yourself and instead of picking yourself apart, I want you to start speaking affirmations on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I did that. I started doing that and it does when you have that positive self-talk, or, you know, you use the scriptures like to encourage your heart and you kind of shift your perspective, it does make such a difference, not only to yourself, as you said, but also to your marriage, like you said, you know, and to your kids. It just kind of overflows into everything that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, so I did not, I wasn't raised Christian. My parents are both like hippies. But I converted when I was getting married to Rick. So, because he was Catholic, and I was like, I want to like be like you, and I want to know you better, like even just to get to know Rick better. And so became Catholic, and like I have been for 10 years now. And when we go to church, like it really does fill me up. I really don't know the scriptures like you might, or someone else that I talked to, but I love this particular priest, and like he just really like makes things come home to me, and he makes it applicable to real life. And I just always am like, if I miss the rest of church, like as long as I can get his little speech that he does, I'm so happy. So, but yeah, anything that like fills you up and brings you positivity, it's going to be good for you and good for your marriage, you know?
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Well, I love that. And okay, what other things, like, I know you do Instagram, what can you share with our listeners that you kind of do? Don't you have a book or something? I'd love for you to share about that too.
Sure. So I wrote, it's more like a guidebook. It's quite brief. And then it covers the elements of things that I thought brought me happiness. So it's Be a Happy Police Wife, and in motherhood specifically, because as I was writing it, I could not separate out the fact that I'm a mom and a wife. And so I had to write it in that context. And I also thought I couldn't find any other books that really focused on motherhood and being a police wife and kind of juggling the family needs. And so as I was thinking about it, we just talked about acceptance, and that is a huge piece of it. So there's kind of an acronym in the book for my four elements, and it's ASIP. So like take ASIP. A for acceptance. S is for self-care, which we already talked about. The third thing in the book that I talk about is independence, because I really think we need that as a police wife. You're going to be alone a lot. You have to figure out, it's related to self-care, but like, what do I need in my life so that I can be alone a lot? And even as a mother, I'm a working mom, so I need to have daycare. The first year that Rick and I had Maverick, we tried to juggle, like just juggle Maverick and not have daycare. That was the craziest idea I think we ever had. Again, like it was the worst year ever. I mean, it wasn't because we love Maverick and we're happy to have him, but like once Maverick turned one, we decided to try daycare, home daycare with this really loving woman. And I just was like, why didn't we do this before? And he only went 3 days a week on the days I taught. And so it wasn't even full time, but it was just such a relief. And he was with someone that I trusted, because Rick, I would sometimes have to teach at 9 a.m. and Rick worked nights. And sometimes he wouldn't be home yet, you know, when I needed to leave for work. And I was like mad at him, you know. So again, it's like, why didn't I just cover my needs? And so I think independence isn't just about doing everything yourself, but asking for help when you need it too. And that help doesn't always have to be your husband. It's okay to ask for professional help, like with daycare or something like that, or any other needs, things that you need to have done around the house and your husband isn't there. Because if you're depending on him, you might resent him if he has to work overtime and you were expecting him to be there. And then same thing with like just going out places or holidays. I really learned to have very low expectation that he would be there, and it sounds bad, but it's really helps me to not have resentment. So
right,
if I just plan everything like for the weekend for my kids and I, like, okay, we're gonna go do this, whatever. And then if Rick happens to have a day off, great, of course I want him there. But if he doesn't, I'm going to plan things I can do, and I can be alone with my kids, and I feel comfortable with that. And then another piece of that is, like, if I know he is working weekends, like maybe a lot of weekends this month, and I'm feeling like I'm going to be lonely, I'm going to be, like, with my kids all day alone, and then I'll plan things with my friends or family or something so that I'm around other people. And, like, you know, it just totally makes the day go by so much faster, and, it, like, enjoy the weekend more. Oh, so that actually gets into my last, so that's planning. The P and ASIP is planning. So, like, planning for you specifically is what I call it in the book. So, instead of, again, like kind of waiting on him to be off to do things, it's like anticipating what my needs would be, regardless of whether or not he would be off. So those kinds of things of like anticipating I might be lonely and like because he's working all these weekends. And so I would plan ahead and be like, okay, what are with the kids this weekend with other people, or just getting out of the house even helps. So that's the last piece. But I think for us today, having talked about acceptance was kind of the hardest one to get over. But I think the other things, like having self-care, having independence, and planning things really that are for you to help you, it will help you with the first thing of acceptance, because you will be happier. That's what I think. So they're all related. And then the book is on audio. It's an audio book on Audible, actually. And that's where I have had all the purchases. No one has purchased this. It's not even a physical book. It's an ebook on Amazon. But I knew, just like me, I don't have time to like sit and read because I'm a mom of young kids and working mom and everything. And so I knew like audiobook is where to go. And so I had a professional transcribe it. And it's just 20 minutes. You could listen to it like while you cook dinner or on driving or something like that. But hopefully it helps whoever listens to it.
Yeah, I love that so much. Definitely, you guys need to check that out, because I just know Kristen has such a sweetheart and she just wants to help people and encourage people. So I love your heart. I love what you do. You know, you are a blessing to a lot of people. So Kristen, lastly, like as a police wife, what is the funniest thing that you've ever encountered, just to give somebody a laugh today?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I think I want to tell a story. There's just so many stories that are my husband's, really, that he tells, and he is the funniest person ever. Like, I feel so like blessed that you guys think I'm funny, because I compared to him, it's nothing. Like, he is hilarious, and I think a lot of police officers are. I might be wrong, but I think they just have like this kind of crude, dark sense of humor. But and the way he tells stories, of course, this is his. But there's a couple that are like, he used to work in gangs, and then he also worked this division where they investigated businesses that are at risk for corruption. So like strip clubs, which are really fun stories, or massage parlors. I feel like I'm not going to make the noise right, but this one comes with the noise. So he was investigating a massage parlor that was potentially doing like sex trafficking and stuff like that, which is obviously a sad thing and shouldn't be funny, so they send in an officer undercover, and he gives a signal, Rick's on the outside, if the masseuse like gives any sign that she's offering sexual services. So she does. So he gives the sign to Rick, and then there's other officers that are gonna like come in, and kind of like they want to come in fast and take any evidence they can. So they're going into each room. They go into the massage parlor. They're going into each room, and they enter. They find where the officer is. They enter his room, and the masseuse is standing there. No. Excuse me. I'm going to tell this one. I knew I was going to do this. Okay. So they find the officer. They make sure he's safe. They enter another room, and this guy's laying on the table, totally naked, and the masseuse picks up a used condom. Swallows it. And so that's what my husband makes the gulp sound. It's like, he's so good at it. I can't do it. But yeah, so that's dedication right there. I cannot get over that story. And yeah, like, wow, she really was going to hide that evidence. Like, she was determined.
Wow.
So, yeah. He tells it so much better than me, but like, that's one of my favorite kind of funny stories of his, and I'm always like, tell it. Like, when we're at home, like, the people that will get it. But yeah, and then of course, like, a lot of people, I feel like, since I tell that story, and it's like, of course, they weren't there to get the victims. They're not there to get the sex trafficking victims. They usually, there's like a mafia or a gang that is running it, and they want to go after those people. So just to clear that up for the listeners, like, they did not arrest any of those women, including the one that swallowed the condom that day. Just want to clarify that. But yeah, there's some of the stories that are really hard to tell on Instagram. First of all, it's not mine, it's his, but it's like, oh my gosh, any kind of like time we have friends over that can get that kind of humor, I'm like, tell that story, Rick. It's so funny. He's better.
Oh, yeah. And we were told this too when we kind of started dipping our toes into, you know, having my husband become a police officer. You know, there are things that happen that are funny, like stories, you know, and you kind of hold on to the funny things because there is a lot of hard things that they see too. But, but yeah, I thought that was funny and thank you for sharing. So, oh gosh, but well,
I'm sure your husband will have his own soon.
Oh yes. Oh yes. We already do have, yes, we do have stories. I'm like, okay, listen, you cannot wear your boots in the house at all. You have to keep those things outside. Yes. So, oh gosh. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. So can you tell everyone again just how to kind of get a hold of you on Instagram and all that?
Sure. My Instagram handle is at Heels and Holster. And then I'm just starting a website too. That's www.heelsandholster.com. So that's exciting. And then, like I said, the book is on Audible or you can find it on Amazon too. And it's Be a Happy Police Wife in Motherhood.
Awesome. Well, that's so great. Well, thank you so much, Kristen, for coming. And you guys definitely check her out. She's awesome. She will definitely brighten your day with her little reels and all the things she has on there. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.